This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Amen. Well, the Lord is good. We are on a series of grace. And grace is a powerful subject in the Bible. And I'm going to say this, we cannot do anything without the grace of God on our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need God's grace. How many people need God's grace in here? Amen? And God's grace is His power. He empowers us to do His will. So His grace empowers us not to do our will, but to do His will. Amen? And we're going to get into that a little bit. But we're focusing on grace, and it's the power of God to work in our lives to be able to walk out the will and the purpose of God in our lives. Amen? And you're going to have Jesus' grace to walk out this life. And Jesus said it this way. He said He does nothing without the Father. You know, Jesus could do nothing without Father God. And Jesus could perform no miracles without the Holy Spirit working with Him. So Jesus could not, He had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that today. But we're talking about grace, and we're in a series of grace. And hopefully this series will bring you greater revelation that with God, you can do all things. Amen. With God, there's nothing impossible. With God, there's no obstacle you cannot overcome. There's no mountain that's too high for you to cross over. Amen. There's no oceans too broad for you not to get to the other side. With God's grace, you can do anything. And we got to get that revelation, because I'm going to say this, the devil's already defeated. I'm going to say it again, the devil's already defeated, and all we have to do is enforce his defeat. Now, he is working, the devil is working against some of us, but he cannot win. Do you believe that today? The devil can't win. And he's not going to win in our lives. In Acts 4, 32 and 33, these are foundational scriptures we've been looking at. And it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I love that. So we see here that really, and I mentioned this in the first session, that they were in unity with one another. They were in unity. They had all things in common, and they were in one heart. And I'm going to say this, that when we get in unity as a body of believers, we're going to see the power of God working like we've never seen before. So what is the devil trying to do in the end days? He's trying to get us disunified. He's trying to bring division. He's trying to break us apart. Amen? And, we got to stay together. Say, stay together. Amen. And I like that, because Paul, when he was on a ship and there was a big storm, Paul told the people on the ship, he was led by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord said that the ship was going to be broken up, but Paul said they all had to stay on the ship to survive. And I'm going to say this, stay on this ship. Amen. The ship is Exceed Life Church. Amen. Stay in so you can be saved. Hallelujah. We are in the ark of safety. Amen. And so we're looking here, and we see great grace was not just upon the apostles, but it was upon them all. So God's grace is not just for ministers. I'm going to say that again. God's grace is not just for me to be up here to minister to you. God's grace is for you in every aspect, in every area of your life. God's grace for you in the church and being in the church, being a blessing in the church, and God's grace is for you outside the church, whatever you're doing, in your occupation, at home. God's grace is for you everywhere that you go. Do you believe that today? Amen. 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 Somebody say, surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's God's grace, goodness and mercy. And so we're talking about unity here. And there's a great scripture in Psalms 133. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon." And so he's talking about the anointing that comes on the priest. And the anointing is likened to the Holy Spirit. And then he said, descending, in the last verse, descending on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. So where unity is, there's the commanded blessing. I don't know about you, but I like to have a commanded blessing on my life. And so how do we have that commanded blessing? We stay in unity with God the Father. We stay in unity with the church. We stay in unity with other believers. Glory to God. I love that. And we see this, that the power works when you're in unity. In Acts 2:1 and 2, it says, "When the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were in one accord and in one place. And suddenly," suddenly, "there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." So the day of Pentecost came, and it took them 10 days. They were up in the upper room for 10 days for them to come together in one accord. And when they came together and they got in unity with one another, the power of God suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. And I'm telling you, when you start getting in agreement with God and His Spirit and the Word of God, God will do some suddenlies. I'm preaching today. God will do some suddenlies in your life. And I don't know about you, but I need a suddenly every once in a while. I need a breakthrough from God every once in a while. I need a move of the Holy Spirit in my life every... How about you? I need that. I need God to invade my life, glory to God. And I'm telling you, I love knowledge of God's Word. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And I need to understand, and I need God to reveal His love to me in a tangible way. Can God do that? Can God touch you in a service? Can God touch you while you're reading your Word? Can God touch you in prayer? Have you ever broke down and wept before the Lord in prayer? If you haven't, you need to. You need to get to that place in prayer where you're touched by the Holy Spirit and streams of water starts pouring out of your eyes because you are touched by the Spirit of God. Amen. We don't serve a dead religion. We serve a living Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's alive in me. Say, He's alive in me. Alive in me. Amen. So we're talking about in unity. Amen. And that is the key to maintaining the power. And unity is brought about by humility. Can somebody say humility? Humility. Now, I'm going a little deeper in this service because I talked about this a little bit a couple weeks back. But humility is powerful in God's eyes. And so unity is brought about by humility. In Ephesians 4, 1 and 3, it says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That's powerful. That's powerful. So we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But we see here, he said, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. What does that mean? That we have to make allowances for people's shortfalls. In other words, people don't do everything right all the time. Can I clue you in something to this morning? You don't do everything right all the time. What, Pastor? You mean I don't do everything right? You don't do everything right all the time either. In other words, you know, it's that person that comes to church and they're looking for the perfect church, right? And they come to church and they start looking, seeing what's wrong with the church. And then what happens is the church is imperfect because they get there. They're the imperfect one. And so we can't be focused on everybody else's imperfections. The Bible is not a book for us to critique other people. It's a book for us to look at ourselves. It's considered a mirror to show up any shortfalls that we might have to get us back on right track. And so you're here this morning and you're getting some adjustments. You're getting a tune-up. Say, I'm getting a tune-up. Amen. So he's saying here to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Ephesians 4:2 in the NIV, it says, be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Amen. So we got to be humble and gentle. And that's not always easy all the time, especially if people are doing you wrong, especially if people are doing things that aren't nice, especially if people are hurting your feelings. It's hard to be gentle when that starts happening, but we still got to pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. Amen? So we see here unity is brought about by humility, and humility brings the grace of God and the power of God to work in our lives. For grace to increase in our lives, we must walk in unity, and unity is always set by humility. Now I'm going to talk to you about humility, and humility really, because we're talking about grace today, humility brings in the grace of God in our lives. Do you believe that today? Think about this. Man, I'm going to get out of my chair. Think about this. You had to get humble. I'm going somewhere this morning. You had to get humble to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You had to come to a point in your life where you said, I can't be king of my life anymore. I can't be doing my own thing anymore. I can't be living my life for myself anymore. You had to come to a point in your life where you said, God, I can't do it anymore. I'm bowing my knee to you. I'm surrendering to you. I'm going to put you first place. I'm going to put Jesus. See, Jesus, for some Christians, Jesus is your co-pilot in your airplane. But you need to move out of the co-pilot, move him out of the co-pilot seat and put him as the pilot. Amen. And you need to be the co-pilot. Yes, in other words, this Christian walk is not Jesus following us, it's us following Jesus. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. It's not me. It's like, Jesus, come follow me wherever I want to go. No, it's Jesus, where are you going? I'm going to follow you. Amen. Are you hearing what I say today? But a lot of times we have convenient Christianity, and convenient Christianity says, Jesus, follow me. but discipleship Christianity, the Christianity that Jesus talks about, what's that type of Christianity? That type of Christianity is denying yourself. What? I didn't come to hear about denying myself, Pastor. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Amen. No turning back. And you know what? I'm denying myself. I could be in Hawaii right now, I think. But anyway, but I'm here preaching a message to you because it's not about Dave. It's about Jesus. And it's about others. Somebody say it's about Jesus. So you have to get humble. Amen. And the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'm telling you, God is looking to raise up people in this church to do some great and mighty things for his kingdom. He's looking to raise you up. And the only way he can raise you up, to go up, you must go down. I'm going to say it again. To go up in God, you must go down in your own self-estimation. In other words, you don't think too highly of yourself as you ought to think, but think soberly, for God has given every person the measure of faith. Amen. And I'm going to say this. There's going to always be people that may not be as talented as you, and there's going to be always people that's going to be more talented than you. There's going to be some people that may not have as much that you have, and there's going to be people that's going to have a lot more than you have. And we need to be satisfied with what we have. We need to be thankful for what God is giving us. Am I talking to anybody today? So I'm talking about grace today and enhancing God's power and presence in our lives. And that's what I want. And the key is humility. And now we're going somewhere this morning. Because I want to go a little deeper with humility. Can I go a little deeper this morning? Because I think when we think about humility, we don't really go that deep. But humility comes about through... Now, are you ready for this word? Oh, it's a strong word this morning. Can you handle it? Submission. Can somebody say submission? Oh, people don't like that word. What, Pastor, are you saying that I got to submit to something? I talk to people a lot, and I'm witnessing all the time. And I talked to this one person, and they said, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. And if you love Jesus, you need to love his body. I can be a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. You won't be a very good Christian if you don't have a pastor that can speak into your life, and if you don't have other believers around you that can help support you and strengthen you, and also other believers that you can practice your love on, because some believers are sandpaper believers. What do I mean by sandpaper believers? They rub you the wrong way. In church, you're going to have people that will rub you the wrong way. What are sandpaper people for? It's to make you smooth. The Bible says that we are stones. And he says we're stones, that God is building a house. We are living stones. And some of us have rough edges. Amen. And some of us might need some sandpaper. I'm preaching today. Some sandpaper people to rub up against so we can make us a little smoother. In other words, it might get us on our knees a little bit more. It might get us in prayer a little bit more. Lord, help me to endure this brother. Help me to endure this sister. I need your grace. Has anybody been there? Help me to endure my relatives, my in-laws and my outlaws. Help me, Lord. Help me. Have you ever been there? We get more angry with our relatives than we do with people outside the church. You ever get more mad at your spouse? I mean, get mad at your kids, get mad at your cousins and your nephew. Get mad. It's easy. Why? Because you know them the most. They are the closest to you. And what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to work on families. He's trying to divide families. You believe that today? But we're not going to let him divide us. Amen? So we're going to walk in grace, and grace is submitting to God. Amen? It's submission. And so here in James 4, it says here, now this is interesting because listen to this. A lot of preachers preach this way. They say this, resist the devil and he will flee. But they're missing a main part of the scripture. Because you can't adequately resist the devil without doing the first part. And I hear preachers preach it. Resist the devil and the devil will flee. You got power. You don't have any power unless you're submitted to God. You have no power unless you are submitted to God. It says here, the first part of it says, therefore submit to God. Then it says, resist the devil. Then he will flee. If you're not submitted to God, then the devil doesn't have to flee from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So what am I saying today? We got to get submitted. Look at your name and say, get submitted to God. Amen. So this is a powerful verse. And the reason why Jesus was so successful in his ministry, why everything worked with Jesus. Jesus had no prayer failures. Jesus, everything worked. He was able to cast out demons without a hitch. He was able to turn water to wine, walk on water without sinking. He was able to do some things, amen? And he did it because he was totally sold out to the Father. Jesus was 100% sold out to Father God. And I'm going to say this, the more sold out you are, the more power you're going to walk in. I'm preaching to somebody today. The more sold out you are to God, the more sold out you are to living your life for God, the more power you're going to walk in. Now, submission and obedience go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. Submission and obedience are what I call the grace twins. You're not going to have any grace in your life without submission and obedience. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. In other words, if you are willing and submissive. Amen. Are you willing to submit your will to God's will? Are you willing to be obedient to the Lord? Let's look at another scripture in submission. This is 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. That's powerful. Submit yourself to your elders. He said young people, so that's talking about if your children, if we had some teens in here, listen to mom and dad. Listen to their advice. They will steer you in the right direction. Get the kids out here right now. No, I'm kidding. They will steer you in the right direction, glory to God. Amen. If you're under a boss, be submissive to your boss. Try to do everything that your boss tells you. As long as he's not telling you to do something that's not sinful, be submissive to your... Don't be just an eye. Don't be trying to please your boss when he's looking around. Now you're working hard while he walks into the room, and then you play on the computer when he walks out. No, that's not what you do, glory to God. No, you serve your boss as you would serve Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? You serve people. If you own your own business, you serve people like you serve Jesus. Now, that's powerful. I'm preaching. If you own your own business, you serve people like you serve Jesus. Amen? So you must be submitted and obedient to see the abounding grace in your lives. In Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, again, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen? So I love that. So let's look at what Peter says. He says, we continue here. He says here, likewise, you young people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. No, underline that. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we see here that there's no grace in being prideful. That God resists people that are prideful, but he gives grace to the humble. So we need to be submissive. Well, who do we need to be submissive to? We need to be submissive to God's leaders. We need to be submissive to God. We need to be submissive to the people that's in our lives that might be leading us in some way. Amen? So God's grace will produce every good thing in our lives when we're submitted to God. Now let's look at Jesus for a second. And let's just study out Jesus. And let's look at Jesus as a servant of God. Jesus was, of course, the Son of God. But let's look at him, and it says here, and this is a pretty neat account, in Luke 2:41-42, it says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So we see here, once a year, they went to a feast, and Jesus was with mom and dad, and his brothers and sisters, and they went up, and what happened was that Jesus stayed back. And he started getting in conversations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he stayed back. And they noticed that Jesus wasn't in the posse. He wasn't in the group. It was a day's travel. And they said, where's Jesus? They lost Jesus. And I'm going to say this, don't ever lose Jesus. You don't want to lose Jesus. Amen. In other words, they lost Jesus. And so they came back, and they started looking, and it took them, somebody say 3 days. 3 days. It took them 3 days to find. They were looking in the arcades. They were looking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were looking at the go-kart place. They were looking at the amusement parks. And Jesus wasn't at the amusement parks. He wasn't at the water park, amen, that most teenagers would be at, right? Jesus, where was Jesus? They should have looked for him where they knew he should have been. He was in the temple. Jesus was in the temple. Where do you find Jesus? You're not going to find him at the go-kart place. You're going to find him in church. You're going to find him in your prayer closet. You're going to find Jesus in the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So it says this. So in verse 46, so now it was after 3 days. Can you believe it? 3 days. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And so, it's interesting. He said, "Why did you seek me?" In other words, you should have known where I was at in the first place. You should have known I was going to be in the temple. You should have known that. But he said, "Why did you go out seeking me at all the other places?" Right? 3 days. Think about that. And then notice the next verse. This is the most powerful verse that I want to get to. This is a very good verse. It says, "Then he went down," talking about Jesus, "he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them." Somebody underlined that word "subject." He was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. What did Jesus? Jesus realized that he caused his parents some pain. He realized that he was into the things of God. He was really into, doing the Father's business. But he understand that there was some natural authority that was placed in his life. Amen. So you see, we have natural authority and we have spiritual authority. And if you can't submit to natural authority, you won't submit to spiritual authority. I'm preaching. I'm going somewhere today. If you can't submit to natural authorities in your life, then you can't submit to spiritual authority. If some say, "Well, I love Jesus. I love him, but I hate the church." You're not submitted to God. You're only submitted to yourself. You want God in a box. And God's name's not Jack. Jack in the box. But are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? We can't turn God into what he wants to be. You don't fit the Bible to fit your lifestyle. Fit your lifestyle to the Bible. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so he says here that he submitted himself. And notice this. This is interesting. This is powerful. I'm going somewhere this morning. It says, "And Jesus increased." Somebody say increase. "And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor." Think about that. So as soon as he submitted to natural authority, the next thing that came into his life was wisdom, stature, and favor. So I submit to you today that when you get submitted under God and natural authority, you will receive God's wisdom. God's wisdom is understanding through God's eyes. I want some understanding through God's eyes. When you get submitted to God, you get understanding from God's eyes. Number two, you get stature. And that means physical growth, but also spiritual growth and strength. So when you get submitted to God, you will grow spiritually and you will grow physically. And number three, when you submit to God, you will get the favor of God, the grace of God on your life. And God's favor is God's ability to influence people for your good. Amen. Has anybody ever been, anybody ever dealt with anything in your life and God influenced somebody for your good? Amen. Somebody, God moved on somebody's heart to do something good for you? Have you ever experienced God's goodness out here that somebody that doesn't even know you does something good for you? Amen. That's God's grace. That's God's favor. Amen. So that's his favor. Amen. And so I love this because Jesus practiced honor. He practiced submission. And so now we're going to another level where Jesus is about ready to enter into his earthly ministry. And so Jesus submitted to John's baptism. This is powerful. And this is a key that we need to look at. It says in Matthew 3, 13 and 17, it says, "Jesus came from Galilee to John and at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you.'" So John knew
you know, that Jesus is the Son of God. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly the voice came from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see here that Jesus submitted to a prophet. John was a prophet of God. John had a ministry. John the Baptist had a ministry, a calling. He was called the forerunner of Jesus. He was called to prepare the people's hearts for Jesus to preach to them. And so Jesus submitted to John's ministry by getting water baptized. And so because Jesus submitted to John's ministry to fulfill all righteousness, he submitted to a man that was submitted to God, Jesus received his own ministry. I'm going to say this. If you can't submit to natural people and to natural ministers, God may not give you what's your own. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? God raised me up to be a pastor. And God called me many years ago. You guys know the story. Many years ago, I was at the Bible school. I wasn't planning on leaving Rhema. I had a house out there. But God called me to come back. And I came back for training. I came back to get submitted under a pastor. And God knew I needed to come under a pastor for a certain amount of time to learn and to learn what to do and to learn what not to do. Amen. And I'm going to say this. Under the 7 years that I served under this particular pastor that started the church, and that's why we have a church today, under that 7 years, I didn't always agree. I didn't always agree with the pastor. But, you know, submission, I'm going somewhere this morning. Listen up. This is powerful. Submission is not always agreement. Oh, pastor, what are you talking about? Submission is not always agreement. You can submit, but you may not be in agreement all the time. Yeah, if I'm preaching it, sometimes you're not in agreement. I remember the pastor when I was, you know, still kind of young, underneath the pastor, and I was sitting in the back, and the pastor said, "Listen, you know, you." And I was working for them. I was working for them at the time, and they said, "We want you to sit up in the front row." And I said, "I don't want to do that." Flesh didn't want to sit up. I wanted to sit back there and spitballs at people's backs of their heads and do all that kind of stuff. But they wanted me to sit up front. You know, it wasn't sin for me to sit up front, but it was me. I had to submit to their authority. I didn't particularly want it to do that. I wanted to sit wherever I want. I want liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. I want to sit wherever I want. Aren't you glad that we don't shuffle all you guys up in the front like some churches do? You're all going to be packed in like sardines. No, we give you liberty at Sea Life Church. You can sit anywhere you want except for on the platform. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And so what I'm saying, I'm saying that sometimes you're going to have to submit even if you don't agree. Can I get a witness in the house today? So I love this because in Luke 16:12 it says, and if you have not been faithful in what's another man's, who will give you what's your own? If you're not faithful in another's man's, who will give? If I never got submitted to the pastors, did you know that one day that came of my submission for 7 years, they called me in and said, listen, we're looking to retire. We like to turn the church over to you. Wow. That is an honor. That is grace. That is favor. And they turned the church over to me to pastor the church. And thank God I didn't wreck it. Thank God I didn't wreck the church. Amen. Thank God the church is still going. We're going on 20 years of me being a pastor. Next year will be the 20th year of me being a pastor. Can you believe it? And the church is still going. The church is still here. After 20, we're going on 20 years. But see, I had to be submitted under the 7 years under Pastor Laban. I mean, under Pastor Joe. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you might catch that on the way home. Amen. And Laban was somebody's uncle, wasn't he? And was it Jacob's uncle, right? And Laban changed the wages 7 times. Pastor didn't do that to me. But anyway, so God is calling us to submit. I'm going to say this, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Jesus was, listen, not everything that God calls us to do, we're going to want to do it. I'm going to say it again. Not every time God tells us to do something, we're going to want to do it. Some, you know, we have our will, and that's where prayer comes in. Prayer helps us to align our will with God's will. See, if you're not praying and you're not seeking God's will, you're going to be doing your will. See, prayer helps us and gets us in a place where God's will becomes our will. Do you hear what I'm saying today? That's what the power of prayer gets us to reveal. See, the Lord in prayer, in that 7 years that I was serving, the Lord spoke to me in prayer. And within that 7 years, I think it was the third year, I was about ready to quit. And the third year, can I be honest? I was about ready to quit. And I think it was the second or third year, the Holy Spirit says, "You're the pastor." And I said, "What? Back that truck up again. You're the pastor." I said, "I'm not the pastor." I said, "He's the pastor." I started arguing with the Lord. "He's the pastor. He's the pastor. I'm not even on the platform. I'm working the sound." And he said, "You're the pastor." And then I said, "Well, how can I be the pastor if he's the pastor?" And then the Holy Spirit said, "I call those things that be not as though they were. I call into existence what's not to be." See, some of you are not where you're at right now because you're not calling some things into existence. You're not believing for some things. You're just saying it like it is. You're saying, "Oh, my husband's always going to be the same. My kids are always going to be the same." No, start calling them godly. Start calling them God-fearing. Start calling them into the kingdom of God. Start calling them. Call those things that be not. Don't agree with the losing circumstance and situation that you're dealing with right now. Change it. You can change the circumstances and the history of your families. You believe that today? Amen. So you have to put, at times, you're going to have to put down your ways and pick up God's ways. And we see this, that Jesus went into the wilderness. And what was interesting, it wasn't the devil that led Jesus into the wilderness. I'm going somewhere today. Jesus went into the wilderness, but he was led by the Holy Spirit. Will the Holy Spirit bring us in the wilderness at times? Well, sometimes you will go into a wilderness. It's called the place of growth. The wilderness that we go in at times is called the place of growth. You will not grow unless you hit some hard times. I hate to tell you this, but unless you're going through something difficult, you're not going to learn who God is. Amen. Because you learn God in the hard times of life, not in the easy times of life. You start understanding God's faithfulness in the hard times of life, not in the... See, we all want it easy. "Oh, Pastor, I want it easy." I'm sorry, you're living on this planet. You got crazy people that live here, crazy devils that live here. We're living in a cursed world system. We're not in heaven. Amen. So there's going to be problems. Amen. That's why God gives us a measure of faith so we can exercise our faith on the problems. Amen. Am I preaching to anybody today? You don't have to be stuck in a problem. That's what I'm saying to you today. So Jesus was in the wilderness, and so what happened was he was tempted by the devil, 3 temptations. The first temptation was to turn the stones into bread, was to use Jesus' power for his own glory. We don't use the power of God for our own glory. We use the power of God for God's glory. We don't use it for our own glory. "Lord, give me the word of knowledge so I can guess the lottery numbers."
It doesn't work that way. You can't ask God for a word of knowledge for yourself like that. It doesn't work. God doesn't work through the lotto. Unless you win the $1 million and give it to us, he does work. But no, I'm kidding. But he doesn't work through the lotto unless you're going to give 10%. But what I'm saying today, so Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you're going to be submitted to God, you must be submitted to his word. Amen. So Jesus said, the only way you're going to live in this life is not by bread only, but by the word of God. Then Satan came to him again and said, you know some word. I'm paraphrasing it. How about this? Jump off the pinnacle. And it is written. Now the devil's quoting word. It is written. If you jump off, God's angels will protect you. And so now, you know, the devil knows the word of God better than some Christians. And you know, the devil knows how to twist the word of God better than anybody else. He knows how to twist the word of God. So the devil was twisting the word of God. But Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus knew the word and he knew how to apply the word. You're not going to be deceived if you keep getting submitted to the word of God. Then each time Satan kept saying to Jesus, if you be the Son of God. Now we know that when Jesus was baptized, came up, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to come against our identity in Christ. And he's trying to get us to prove our identity in Christ. And we don't have to prove anything to the devil. No, we just walk our faith out in love, obedience to God. And then finally the devil said, listen, I know, Jesus, why you're here. You're here to rule and reign. And I know what you're here. And I have all the worlds in my hands. It was given to Satan when Adam and Eve bowed their knee to Satan in the garden, in that garden that day of Eden. And so when they did that, the devil became the god of this world system. And he said to Jesus, I have it all and I'll give it to you all. I give it all to you, all the kingdoms. And Jesus said, listen, that's what Jesus is going for. Jesus is going to be ruling and reigning, right? That was the pinnacle of why he was here, to rule and reign in people's hearts. And what the devil wanted him to do was take a shortcut. Hey, you don't have to go God's way. You don't have to submit to God. Just submit to me. And the devil said, just bow down and worship me. What does the devil want you to do in your life? The devil wants you worshiping him. The devil wants you, disobeying God is worshiping the devil. Oh, I'm going, I know that's that might be stretching it out a little bit, but being disobedient to God is being obedient to the devil. Amen. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? And I don't want to be disobedient to God. I want to be obedient to the Lord. Amen? And so and I love that. So Jesus, He made it through the wilderness, and you're going to make it through your wilderness if you keep walking out the plan of God and staying in the grace of God in your lives. You know, I think about one more person, and Jonah. And Jonah was a man that was a prophet of God. And Jonah is another man that did the will of God, but he did it reluctantly. And I'm going to say this, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the best. It works better doing the will of God, being in agreement with God. And Jonah was called to be a prophet, and the Bible says that God told him to go to Nineveh to preach to the Ninevites repentance. And Jonah went the opposite direction. He went on a ship going the opposite way. He started running from God. I'm going to say this to you, stop running from God. Start running to God. And he started running from God, and he got on the ship to go in the opposite direction. And guess what happened? A storm came up. God sent a storm, and the storm came up on that ship. And Jonah's ship was rocking and reeling, and the sailors on the ship was nervous. They finally got to Jonah and says, who do you serve? What's going on? And Jonah, as a prophet of God, he knew what was going on. He said, well, I wasn't being too obedient to God. And this is happening because I'm disobedient. And Jonah knew, and he was a prophet. He said, just throw me over the boat. And Jonah got thrown over the boat. But you know what? Still, in God's grace and his mercy, God prepared a... You can be disobedient. You can be running from God. And God still has your name and your number. And he's still going to be with you. And he's going to do everything he can to get you back. And God had this fish that was prepared for Jonah's rebellious ways. And this fish swallowed Jonah. And in Jonah's life, listen, the storm's going to come two ways in your life. Number one, if you're doing the will of God, the devil will send a storm. Remember when Jesus, he said, let's go to the other side, to his disciples. And as they launched out to go to the other side, a big storm came. Then they woke Jesus up and Jesus said, peace be still. When storms come because you're trying to do the right things, you need to speak to the storms. When storms come because you're doing the wrong things, you need to repent from your deeds and get back to God. Speaking to the storm and repenting to God will cause the storms to subside in your life. Jonah repented in the belly of that fish, and God heard his prayer, and the Bible said that fish spit Jonah out on dry land. And then I'm going to say this, that Jonah has a calling, and his calling was to preach to the Ninevites, and God said it again, go to the Ninevites. What I'm saying to you today, if God has a call on your life, he's not taking it back. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've been dodging him, ducking him, trying to stay out of church. I'm going to say this, God has your number. He has a fish prepared for you, and God is going to bring you back, and he's going to keep that calling on your life. He's going to give you purpose in the midst of your storms. Do you believe that today? God can give you purpose. And he gave back Jonah purpose. He said it a second time. Now, he ain't going to say it the third time. You know, God's going to say it. In the Old Testament, you just get it twice in the Old Testament. You might get it a little bit more in the New Testament, but you get it twice in the Old Testament. And he says, and then Jonah, he preached. He didn't want to. He did it reluctantly. Can you be obedient without being really, in alignment with God's will, in agreement? Yes, you can be submissive without being in agreement. Jonah preached, and the people fasted and prayed, and God relented to what he was going to do. That city was going to be destroyed in 40 days, and God said, I'm not going to destroy that city. I'm going to bless that city because they fasted and prayed and repented. And Jonah said, I can't believe you saved them, God. They should have been wiped out. Jonah, I'm glad Jonah wasn't the Lord. Amen. Jonah wanted them wiped out. For some reason, these people must have got under Jonah's skin. For some reason, Jonah had a hate for the Ninevites. Maybe they hurt his family. Maybe he had some unforgiveness. Maybe he had some bitterness. See, be careful with unforgiveness. Be careful with bitterness. It will cause you to try to put people down. It will try to keep people from moving forward. Get the bitterness. Get the unforgiveness. I don't know what Jonah was dealing with, but he had a chip on his shoulder. But you know what? God grew a plant that grew up, and it was hot, really hot, and that plant gave Jonah some shade. And then he was so thankful for it. And then God created a worm, or had a worm eat the plant, and then the heat of the day wanted to make Jonah die. And he said, why is this happening? And God said, listen, I gave you that plant to shade you, and that was my grace. That was my grace. And the plant withering away was the fact that that was my grace taken away. And I'm going to say this. I want to be, not only do I want to be submissive to God, I want to be in agreement with God. If I'm in a place where, man, God, there's some things I don't care about, maybe where I'm at right now, pray it through. Pray for the circumstance. Pray for the situation. Maybe God will change it. Maybe your household,
families, husbands and wives, maybe your spouses aren't where they need to be. Keep praying for them. Keep believing God. Maybe God will move them into that direction. Smith Wigglesworth was a backslidden plumber, and he became one of the most evangelists of all time. People wrote books about him after he died. And Smith Wigglesworth, because of the love of his wife, became one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Raised 17 people from the dead. What am I saying to you today? If we get submitted to God, we get in agreement with God, we will see God's grace abounding in our lives like no other. Do you believe that today? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And my last scripture, again, I'll bring it up. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. Somebody say, I'm getting willing, I'm getting obedient, and I'm going to eat the best of the land. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And Father, we desire to submit our lives to you, to be submitted to you, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're helping us to be submitted and to be in agreement with your plan and your purpose for my life and for our lives. And Father, I'm asking that you reveal your truth to each person today that's listening to the sound of my voice, that's watching me. And perhaps you are there and you have not made Jesus the pilot of your airplane. He's the co-pilot. And I'm going to say this today. He needs to be put in the pilot seat. He needs to be first and foremost in your life. And so maybe you've never put Jesus as Lord of your heart, but today's the day to do that. You can ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. You can have Jesus direct your life. Instead of Jesus following you, it's time for you to follow Jesus. So if you're ready to follow Jesus today, just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.